Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Well, good morning, Portland. It's just about time to get your day started right here with Dusty and Cam on 10 a.m. The Fan. We'll get up and get started. It's time for Dusty and Cam. Just around 6, shower, shave, and coffee. It's time to get that sports fix. Bring a case of the Mondays, then there's Would You Rather, just a little bit of awkward. So tune in live today. It's Dusty and Cam.
Which one's crusty and which one's dusty?
My sports package is huge now.
Where are you at, brother?
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
I'm ready to crush your dreams in the morning.
Lighten up, Cam.
You don't even have a barn.
Would have built one just for you.
You'll love your dog.
I love you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Good morning, happy Monday to you, the 27th of April, 2020. Dusty here, Cam Cleland with you. Good morning, Mr. Cleland.
What's Howdy, happening? Sir.
What's the haps,
yeah,
man?
What's the happening hap outs?
Oh, you know.
Got a little total gym fitness going on, I see, on the big TV.
Yeah, that's right.
Chuck Norris is on my TV. The TV is drooping a little bit.
Yeah,
a little
what'd you
droopy.
Do?
I didn't do anything. Isaac was complaining about it. It's Jeff's fault.
It's a little wonky.
It's a little droopy.
It's a little wonky.
It's got a little flop to it.
Yeah, we got a big new TV in here. Ooh. And it's a little crooked. You and engineer extraordinaire Jeff McGinley hung it 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago?
Probably.
Yep.
Somewhere around there.
And it's a little droopy. Crooked.
It's a little heavy.
It's right. Massive.
It nice.
It's beautiful.
It's big television.
Thank you guys for doing that.
We'll do that. These guys can see it.
What'd you do this weekend? Anything good? Anything fun? Anything good? Text us 55305 fan text line.
It's did not you do about cool? me. It's about the listeners.
Well,
what
no,
did you
but what
do?
Did you? What did you do?
Washed my truck.
Look. Oh, good for you.
I washed my truck. I washed my floors.
Something tells
got
me.
Down on the hands and knees and scrubbed the gym. I did yard work. I walked.
Oh, you sound busy.
Walked.
God.
Rode bikes.
Something tells me you and I are alike in this regard when we clean our cars.
Huh.
I find something very rewarding about cleaning your vehicle out and actually doing a good job. My wife says, you are so anal when you're cleaning the car. And I'm like, well, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it right. Get into all the crevices, and it takes me far too long probably to vacuum. I feel like you are... very similar in that regard.
I think you could tell a lot about a person when two things. When I play golf with you and what your car looks like on the inside.
Mm.
The outside, I don't judge too much because we live in the Pacific Northwest. There's no way to keep a clean car, especially if you have a black. And my truck is black. It's a nightmare.
Mm.
But the inside is a whole different deal. If you're getting your buddy's car, it's got like 8 bags of fast food. There's bottles everywhere. There's cups. There's crap. And there's everything looks like there's French fries in every cup holder. You've getting that car, and then what it's like to get in a car of somebody else. I mean, it just play golf with somebody, get in their car. You know exactly who they are within 5 seconds.
You know, there is something that
That's
love
it.
My
good
wife.
Or bad, doesn't matter. Just you know who they are.
I know I love my wife for so many different reasons. One thing that just gets me every time after she uses my car, which is going to be happening over the next couple of days.
Which one is your car? Which one's her car?
The Explorer's mine.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know you guys actually had mine, and yours.
Well, yeah,
I didn't
don't you that. Have, don't you? Well, it's the car you drive regularly.
Oh, yeah. Some people just, I
it's
consider
our
them,
car, but it's, you know what I'm talking about.
No, I
like
know what you're
the
saying.
One you drive
I know what you're
normally,
saying.
Your everyday driver, that's your car.
Yeah.
But when I get into her car or after I drive mine, it is like there's going to be wrappers from what the kids are eating. In like the cup holder, there's extra stuff. I'm just like, what is happening in this vehicle right now? And that gets me every single time. I have to do like a woo-sah really quickly.
A little goose fraba.
Every time. And then you have to reset. Okay. Moving on.
Don't eat in cars.
Bothers me.
I know it's a crazy theory. Don't eat in the car.
Well, if you do, just clean it up. You know, that's my whole thing.
Still, just don't eat in the car. Mm. First of all, did you? I had a. It is. You can get in trouble. You can get a ticket for eating and driving, and or drinking. Not literally drinking.
Distracted driving.
So if I have like a shake or something, and I don't have two hands on the wheel, and I'm distracted, that is part of the law. I mean, of course, I've learned all these laws, but. I've seen somebody drinking a Diet Coke with a cheeseburger in their hand, all with their visor down, trying to do makeup.
Yeah, makeup driving is insane. Those people are crazy. If you see somebody driving down the road and they're doing their eye makeup, oh boy.
Or a good booger pick never really hurt anybody. You wouldn't think so if you're digging for gold, but you'd be surprised.
If you get high enough, you have to close one eye.
It's distracting.
I mean, if you get two knuckles in. I mean, you're definitely having to close that eye to really rank on that.
Two knuckles in.
Yeah.
How deep is your nasal cavity?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. You're itching your brain there, bud. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to get up there, and when you're digging for that gold, watch out now. But yeah, makeup driving, I will gladly take a speeding ticket if there's somebody next to me who is doing their makeup, because I just want to get away from them. If I get pulled over, I'll be like, hey, officer, don't blame me. I wanted to get away from the person back there doing their eye makeup while they were driving. I'm not going to be...
It's a great excuse.
I'm not going to be driving slow next to them. Get away from them.
Well, that and bees got in my car. It's my first go-to.
Ooh. It flew out right when I rolled the window down, officer.
So I wanted to tell you, we I pulled the trigger on a family movie night. Because I have another buddy who's got family movie nights.
Mm-hmm.
And I got shamed by my wife because we watched... Stand By Me.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Watch Stand By Me. And
a little dark.
It's a little dark. Boys loved it. My daughter, on the other hand, it was pretty aggressive. She shamed. She got like a few minutes into it. And my daughter's going to be 11. She'll be 11 in a month. And I went, what? This is that bad? How come every movie that I grew up watching wasn't that bad, and now they are horrifically bad? In its instance, I don't think they're bad.
Want to see a dead body?
No, it's not. It's not that. It's not that bad. And by the way, when they showed him the dead body, it was horrible makeup.
Yeah,
it was horrible makeup in 1986, 85, 84, 86.
I don't know.
Somewhere in that nature.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, you were born. You didn't see it yet.
Well, I'd seen Stand By Me.
1986.
But it's a great Stephen King movie and filmed right at Castle Rock. How many of you have been to Castle Rock?
I've been through Castle Rock.
You said through Castle Rock.
Yeah.
I've also been through Castle Rock.
Like, I haven't been like, oh, yeah, I'm going to Castle Rock to hang out for a while.
I mean, but all the places to pick to film, right. Stand By Me, you picked Castle Rock.
You know, that... And
Kiefer
anybody...
Sutherland is still the most punchable face person actor. God, he was brutal in the 80s.
President, I don't know. What is he in that show?
And Lost Boys.
Agent Jack Bauer.
Agent Jack Bauer, the president.
You haven't seen Lost Boys yet, have you?
I've seen the Lost Boys.
Oh, you've seen Lost Boys?
Lost Boys vampires, dude.
God, he's just such a great villain.
Also makes an appearance in A Few Good Men.
There's something about Stand By Me, though. We didn't really realize at the time what... I mean, that's a big-time bullying movie. You know, there's a lot of bullying that's going on in that. And that's something that I never really thought of until I watched it just a couple of years ago.
Because it was quite acceptable then.
Yeah. Like, well, in the 50s. It wasn't like it was acceptable, but it was just like, oh, yeah, it's kids being kids. And then you watch it now, you're like, oh, my God, that's over the top.
Yeah, it's over
what
the top.
What we know now about bullying and the impacts that it has, it's pretty crazy.
Are you just talking about the lard-ass part where you go boom-baba? That just brought back so many... flashbacks to grade school.
Yeah. Well, holy, there's the lard ass part, and then there's just the overall the older kids threatening to kill the younger kids. Like that. I'd go with that as being a part of the bullying.
I know, but that wasn't an Academy Award winning movie.
Maybe.
And Kiefer Sutherland bullies his little band of goons, you know?
Yeah, he does. He's the goon bullier.
Yeah. He's just a jerk.
The cigarettes and the shirt.
Also, that's a rite of passage for anybody that lives in Oregon because it's supposed to take place in Oregon.
Yeah, it's supposed to take place in Oregon.
You know, like that's one thing that you have to go, all right, yeah, you got to watch that. That's a rite of passage movie because it's supposed to take place here even though it wasn't. Oh, we have conflicting report. Was it Castle Rock, Maine that it was filmed in? I didn't think so.
I didn't think so. I thought for sure. I thought they filmed it there. I'm just assuming because the way when they said the intro. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's a lot that we need to get to on today's show. You know, it was a busy sports weekend for the first time in, over a month, like 5 weeks. It was actually a busy, busy sports weekend. We had the NFL draft, which we have a lot to get to from that. Mm-hmm. We have another two installments of The Last Dance, which two episodes per weekend doesn't seem like enough, but I'm glad that they're doing not just one. They're giving us two, so we get 2 hours every night. And the F-bombs were a flying yesterday. You didn't think so?
Yeah.
Did you see Gary Payton? Gary Payton was on for a total of like 30 seconds in that documentary, and he had like four of them. You had Horace Grant. Michael Jordan's potty mouth was coming out. Loved seeing that.
We got Michael Wilbon's potty mouth.
Yes, Michael Wilbon let it go too.
Yeah. It's like the first time you hear your uncle swear, and you're like, whoa.
Go home, MFers, go home.
Yeah. And so there was a lot of that was going on.
How much do you hate Detroit now?
Yeah, Isaiah Thomas, he got Jerry Krause yesterday.
How come not one Detroit Piston could make the 92 Dream Team, including Isaiah Thomas? Nobody is allowed near that Olympic team.
When it was coached by their coach, and incredible. They still didn't want him on.
Incredible, the respect they had for their coach and the players. Yeah. Makes you hate that Detroit group even more.
I loved it. It was so good. And P. Anthony makes a great point here. When Michael Jordan says, I don't care. He was refusing to watch the video of Isaiah Thomas explaining it. And he was like, no, I don't care what he says. He's an a-hole.
I love that the fact I got so many takes on this. I got so many takes on that. Not so many takes. I just got one big take. That's my statement.
Oh, that's your big,
statement
today, or is it your take of the day?
Takes and statements. That's what today is, Monday.
Let's go. All right, it is Monday, so at 6:30 we will have Statement Monday. What's that?
Nothing. I just was still appreciating I'm still appreciating the moms of, I saw a great
How are you doing?
A great mom draft video of what to do. As the girlfriend of the draft, as the rest of the weekend continued, and what you're supposed to do of the girlfriend. This all goes back to, I think it was Isaiah Wilson's girlfriend who sat on his lap and got hip tossed off his lap.
Yeah.
By the mom.
Yeah. Don't you ruin this moment, you hussy.
You hussy girlfriend. You're going to sit on his lap.
I have got a full list of filming locations for Stand By Me. None of them are Castle Rock.
Oh.
We have Brownsville, Oregon, Vanita, Oregon, Eugene, Oregon, Franklin, Oregon, Cottage Grove, Oregon, and then we have Eagle Mountain, California, McLeod, California.
And Bernie, California.
Bernie. Where's that?
But predominantly in Oregon it was filmed, correct?
That's right.
I had no idea.
It was in the Eugene area.
Very famous train bridge scene may have been in California.
Oh, it was. I thought that was somewhere in Oregon.
Because it says here, Eagle Mountain Lane, Bernie, California, for the Trestle Bridge. So I'm guessing that might be the train bridge that is in the iconic scene.
Yes.
Well, folks, definitely was not Maine, like that one person said on the text line.
That's a long way. Why would you film some in Oregon and then go to Maine?
I don't know.
To film it.
Because they kind of look alike. Hey, but this is why you listen to the show.
They both have Portland.
They do both have a Portland. That's right, Buck. Mm-hmm. You know geography. All right, so we got Last Dance to get to. Get your statements in, what you learned over the weekend, 55305. Case of the Mondays, 7:45 as well. Got a lot of The Last Dance, a lot of the NFL draft. Aaron Rodgers, the mentor, as is a little bit of a surprise to some, Carson Wentz, the mentor. We have to talk about that. Plus, big movers and shakers from the weekend. The Seahawks, 49ers, Rams, and Cardinals. The NFC West had a nice little draft weekend. Maybe we should start there. The NFL draft concludes with, seven guys from Oregon State getting their names called over the weekend. NFL draft. Thoughts on the virtual draft as it wrapped up on Friday and Saturday. This is Dusty and Cam. All right, 6:19, Dusty here, Cam Cleland. What'd you think of virtual draft going on over the weekend? I thought, though, as a whole, we had no catastrophes of the draft. Nobody really screwed it up. And I thought the NFL kind of did a really good job of navigating murky waters.
I thought they did a great job with it. I hope we never have to see it like this again, because I thought this year was one of the most devastating years for players that entered the draft that should have never entered the draft. But not only just did that, because I was just talking about local kids, not only just in the Pac-12, and we can discuss into that, but some from my former alma mater got just lambasted, embarrassed, and not just to the point where this was a national thing where so many kids were getting signed, so many young adults were getting signed as free agents and just adding on to rosters late. But you could not overcome, once this was set with the coronavirus, you could not overcome the injury reports and or preconceived notions from the combine with your personal workouts or some of the other things in the interviews. And once that identity was slapped at you, you had no way to get that off. And that pushed guys so far out of the draft to the point where we've never seen so many players just fall and fall and fall, and they couldn't recover. And you couldn't recover. And it's not that I feel bad for some of these guys. It's just that I think one more year in college is so much better than a year as a free agent as an NFL guy hoping to make a roster.
So, I mean, the two guys from your alma mater that kind of stick out are Salvin Ahmed and then Hunter Bryant.
Yeah, Trey Adams. Trey Adams said at one point a year ago. Yeah, at one point he was going to be a first day guy. He really was, and just injuries. And, you know, and the more I thought of it, and I said, well, what was your last perception of a guy like that? Here's a guy who talks about his wang size. He's been injured. Do you want to invest in that kind of money? Do you want to put him at a tackle position to protect your $30 million quarterback? I wouldn't. I wouldn't invest in a guy like that. Are you kidding me? I said, if that's my last perception, you think, oh, it's kind of funny. He talked about that. No, it's immature. And the other two, Bryant and Ahmed, they just bad info, man.
Well, and then you also
just
have
bad
a guy,
info and tweeners.
A guy like Isaiah Hodgins from Oregon State. Yeah. I mean, we talked about this at the time. We were like, hey, you know, that's not a bad move for him. I mean, what's his draft stock going to do? Little did we know that when he ended up declaring for the NFL draft, it would become the deepest NFL draft at that position ever. At wide receiver, and Isaiah Hodgins, who Buffalo gets a steal with him in the sixth round for Isaiah Hodgins. I mean, he's one of those guys where not being able to go to meetings, not being able to go and work out there, it ended up hurting him because he didn't run great times at the combine. Yeah. And he wasn't one of those guys that is a workout warrior at the combine. So, and was on a pretty bad team at Oregon State. Let's call it what it was.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, there were a lot of guys that left early, and look, this isn't just a Pac-12 issue. It just seemed like the NFL franchise is what they were doing. Is they were going on what they knew, and what they know best is the SEC. So you saw a bajillion SEC guys get drafted.
Not only just that, you saw guys that probably should have had better information given to them. They really should.
Where does this information come from then? And like, how do we solve this problem and get guys better info?
Well, I think it starts with the NC2A with their ability to let players come back. I think that would be a big deal.
Yeah.
Once you get through the weekend, and you should have, and if colleges were willing to do that and say, hey, we will hold, let's just say per year, you have 85 scholarships per year. What happens if they hold 4 or just an easy number, 5? As an auxiliary. And so you get 90. You bump it up to 90 scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds expensive, but let's say it's an average 50. That's an extra $250,000 a year. That's not a tremendous amount. Just remove it from your coach's winning percentage money that you give him at the end of the year. Reserve those 5 scholarships for returners on average that might want to make a different decision, that got bad information, maybe got hurt at the combine, maybe ran a bad 40 or did something, got to the point where didn't make a few good decisions, worked out with the wrong strength coach that made them get all muscle bound instead of making them be able to run fast. Have that option, because once you declare, you're screwed. You're done. You're done. You don't have that option anymore, which I think college football would love to have those guys come back because it makes their product better.
You know, I like where you're headed on that. And basically what we currently have is every team will hold on to 2 scholarships every year. that either pop up due to transfer or somebody leaves a program, and those are the walk-on scholarships. Mm-hmm. What you're proposing is that every school, you just expand that out. But what if you add this onto it? You have your walk-on allocations that schools usually use, and then you also have your transfer portal. You have a portal slash return from the draft reserve of scholarships.
Yeah.
That, like, maybe you can give 84 is for your high school kids, but then you have a portal, transfer portal, because what teams usually do, a guy leaves early for the draft. Where do they end up filling that gap? With a transfer guy.
Yeah.
Whether it's JUCO, transfer portal, whatever. And with that becoming more and more commonplace in the NCAA creening down this path where, you know, I think next month, aren't they going to be voting on whether or not to allow the immediate transfer? So that would make even more sense in that regard.
I just, as long as we want the product for college football to hold and keep the players coming back, because they still get the opportunity. I don't know if a lot of schools still do this, but I think a lot of them do. I don't know the exact number or the percentage. Allow and honor the opportunity for athletes to come back and finish their degree. Now, some schools don't, but I think most do. Because if you leave early and you didn't graduate, you decide to leave after your third year, and maybe you got a couple quarters left, you can come back and finish once you're done. If you want to continue to make the product better, you would still want these players coming back. Mm-hmm. And if they declare early, why wouldn't you want another guy at depth? And it's not hurting the rosters of college football because you're not adding on a crap ton. And on average, if you used five, you only might use two per year, have the allotment of five. It's just, it's disappointing to see because you see something like the Rams signed 20 free agents. 20 free agents to add to their roster. They're going to keep two if they're lucky. Maybe three out of those 20. So where do those other players go? I get it. It's the product of the system. It happens. You just have masses, and a lot of them aren't going to get the offseason to get ready. They're not going to have OTAs. So a lot of these guys aren't. They're going to show up, if they're lucky, to a camp, them in a secluded place that's going to be isolated, less time, less activity. This is one of those strange years. I hope we never see it again, but it's definitely going to be very interesting on how these guys make these rosters.
Yeah, and a lot of them are. More and more are we seeing, you know, early entrance into the NFL draft, and boy, is it backfiring for a lot of these guys. I mean, what was it? Back in 2018, there was 37 of 106 that went undrafted. And this year, it was another record year for early entries into the NFL draft. And boom, it happens yet again. And this is part of doing business in the NFL. These guys want to get out of college. They want to get their money. And I'm wondering how much name, image, likeness would maybe keep a guy around a little bit longer.
Keep him along. It's a great point. Keep him in there a little bit longer, make better, smart decisions. Don't be so anxious to go do that. And you just, the crapshoot of this year goes to show you that your perception from a league, just your basic reputation.
Hey, how about
everything?
How about hypocrisy of the NCAA? Stop me if you've heard this one before. But you mean to tell me that they should have a process like they do with basketball, where you can go through the combine and the NBA draft process and then go back to school?
Yeah, and I know they do that with basketball because they have the one and done rule in college. They go, oh, we put it at three. We put it at three. Well, guys that play 3 years still might make a mistake. They still might.
Yeah. Shocking. Shocking. Just let it happen. Come on, guys. All right. Well, the NCAA, I thought it was refreshing to see the event virtual and see these coaches in their homes. I thought that was kind of a cool little touch that they had. Coaches and Roger Goodell in his leather chair. Did Roger Goodell look ill, even more ill on Friday than he did on Thursday? He did a wardrobe change on Thursday.
Yeah.
And then on Friday, he went from standing to sitting laying back. I was worried for him.
No, I think he's just tired. He looked tired.
Well, yeah, I'm a little worried. A little bit worried about this. Mm-hmm. All right, 55305. That is the fan text line. We got a lot of NFL draft that we will get to. As we got to talk about the NFC West and how they fared throughout the NFL draft, and then a little bit of how the colleges, a little angle towards the colleges coming up next hour as the SEC reigns supreme. We all know about that, but is there something to the development of talent that's happening out west? So we'll discuss that, and mentorship will be a big one. But Statement Monday, use your statements from the weekend in sports. Actually, have a lot to talk about. NFL draft, we maybe have the NBA coming back, and The Last Dance, of course. Right now, though, is Buck with SportsCenter.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Move to the coast. We get together. Have a few laughs.
Text us at 55305. I'd love to berate you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text us at 55305 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
55305. That is the Fan text line. Statement Monday. What'd you learn over the weekend in sports? Dusty here at Cam Cleland. We could be NFL draft related. NBA potentially coming to return. Did you see the Woj report? The Woj bomb?
Saw a little bit of it. Get back to the facilities, maybe?
Yeah, facilities appear to be opening. Bum, bum, bum. Starting on Friday.
Did you see LeBron James doing his rope workout over the weekend? Boy.
No.
Battle ropes.
Okay.
Everybody sold out of battle ropes after that.
Well, are those the heavy ropes where you do the wavy thing?
I don't know why they're
them?
Called battle ropes, because the only thing you're battling is...
yourself?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Battle ropes are cool, I guess.
And they rope. You're battling against the rope.
The rope.
But here's
rope
a
battle.
Problem. Unless you have a super big place like LeBron... like storage of a battle rope seems like it would. It seems like it would take up a lot of space. Those things are long and they are very girthy. You know.
True.
Like in a normal average garage, you'd just be like, God, where am I going to put this damn thing? It's in the way all the time.
Yeah.
All right. So battle ropes happening. NBA could be opening up, and then we also had the Last Dance. So 55305. That is the Fan text line. It is Statement Monday. Jane Beaverton with the tough one, but I think everybody is learning this. I learned my wife is a gaming hypocrite when it comes to gaming. She can sit and play Animal Crossing for hours on it, but I don't have time for 5 minutes of a match in Golf Clash. I don't know what either of those games are.
Sounds stressful, but great.
Animal Crossing?
Is that
like Frogger, but with different animals?
Sounds good. Sure.
You just have to make
sounds
them
like a Frogger-esque game.
Yeah, you just try to cross them over the street. And then I don't know what golf match is. That seems like a game that you'd get into, though. Golf Clash. Golf Clash? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I have no idea.
I get it. You know, when you're quarantined with your wife and you're in video game hell, it's a problem.
It is true. I think a lot of people are in video game hell right now. Is that becoming an issue in homes with the gaming consoles?
Fact. Well, at least I know that my kids, they don't really get to socialize at all with their friends. So the only way they get to see their friends or talk to their friends is via Zoom.
Yeah.
And they don't really do that. They just get on their headsets and they hang out and talk on the games that they're playing. That's about it. That's all I've seen so far. Some kids and some parents are letting their kids hang out. Look, it's whatever you want to do. I'm not going to sit there and tell you if you do the proper social distancing. But kids want to be social.
Yeah.
They only get to see their friends. They hang out.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. Statement Monday, 55305. This text says, I was under the impression that Michael Jordan had something to do with Doug Collins not being the coach anymore. I was surprised to hear that it wasn't Michael's idea and nobody even talked to him about it. That was from The Last Dance last night.
Yeah.
And they are setting this documentary up beautifully. It is really well done because it's about the 97-98 Bulls. But obviously, in the first two installments, we saw a little bit of the backstory of Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and how they got to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Last night was kind of the making of how they brought Rodman into the fold and how Phil Jackson was promoted to the head coach of the team. And that was kind of a revelation that everybody had always said, like, Jordan got Doug Collins fired, which couldn't be further from the truth.
I never felt that.
Well, no, that was the rumor about
it.
I don't know that it had been written by several writers, and like that's kind of been the story behind Michael Jordan.
I don't remember.
Because he got Collins fired.
Yeah, I don't remember that stories. I don't. I always looked at it as Doug Collins was just kind of he was a young whippersnapper kid and just didn't, I know he was young, but he was quite young when he was taking over that position and didn't mesh well. But the more you learned about that offense and it was just get the ball to Mike, and why would Michael Jordan dislike that? That's all he knew at that point.
Yeah.
It was get the ball to him.
Yeah.
I think that as the more you watch this documentary, you get to see, I wonder personally how much editing power Mr. Jordan had in this when it came down to the storyline, how it was shaped up, how it was kind of form it, because the villains that they've created with this to re-energize the villains and how distinctly they are. It is completely separate. There is no gray area on how these villains are being portrayed. There isn't. Every time you get to see it from this weekend, if there's not a faction of America that hates the rest of the... I mean, the Bad Boy Pistons were part of the Bad Boy Pistons. You may like them or not. Great team or not. I thought they were a great basketball team. But if you don't hate them now, then you sure as heck hate them now.
Oh, there obviously is.
Unless you're from Detroit and you love Detroit, yeah, and you appreciate that.
There obviously is a lot of say that he has in it, because remember coming out at the very beginning of this, it was leaked, hey, I don't want to come off as a horrible guy.
Yeah.
And everything and every angle of this documentary is to actually prop Michael Jordan up as why he did act the way that he did to some people. And look, the Pistons were hateable. And especially when you hear like them talking about the Jordan rules and them actively wanting to hurt, like that's not a framing the Pistons in a negative light and unfairly doing it. No, everything about this is pretty fair, because Jerry Krause in the first two episodes was painted as a bad guy, and they used his own words to outline why Michael Jordan should be mad. And in this instance, they used the Pistons' own words in describing how they wanted to hurt Michael Jordan to tell you why they were the
zero,
bad guys.
I mean, there is gamesmanship when it comes to understanding how to defeat somebody and how you beat them. The Detroit Pistons had a better game plan. They used the rules. They used everything they could to stop. If you're not as talented, like straight up as talented as somebody, like you know that somebody's just going to run by you, and you decide to win this game, the Detroit Pistons had a better team game plan than the Bulls did at that time.
And here's the audio that I had Buck pull this audio, and it's I think John Sally. I think you may hear Isaiah Thomas, and then you hear an assistant coach for the Detroit Pistons as well, and Dennis Rodman too, who was on the Pistons at the time, all talking about what the Jordan rules were.
This is what the Jordan rules were. On the wings, we're going to push him to the elbow, and we're not going to let him drive to the baseline. Number two, when he's on top, we're going to influence him to his left. When he got the ball in the low post, we were going to trap him from the top. Well, that's the Jordan rules, and it was that simple.
What happens when he does make a baseline?
That's when Lambeer and Mahorn would go up and knock him down to the ground.
As soon as he steps in the paint, hit him.
Chuck Daly said, this is a Jordan rule. Every time you f***ing basket, put him on the ground. When he comes to the basket, he ain't going to dunk. We're going to hit you, and you're going to be on the ground.
Jordan is still there.
We tried to physically hurt Michael.
Jordan had no place to go. Robert.
No gray area there.
Love it.
It's in their own words.
Love it. Love every second about that, because that style of basketball made Michael, it drove him. I mean, it made him who he was by being a part of it. It's a different game, basketball game now. But you look back to it, he still hates him. You can see the animosity. And that was kind of my statement of today, is that I respect – Detroit Pistons were unbelievable what they did. They bullied the Lakers. They bullied the Boston Celtics. They knocked off the three greatest organizations in the history of basketball all within a three-year period. They beat them all. And they did it in back-to-back seasons because they were just tougher and they had a better game plan than you.
Yep.
However, my thing going into this is that the more I've learned about and why I watch those guys at this point, not everybody needs to be friends. And I can respect the fact that you still hold not just animosity, but you hold yourself to another standard. Michael Jordan doesn't think that they had any respect to the game and they had no sportsmanship. Respect that tremendously. Looking at the Pistons, this is what we did. This is how I like that. Doesn't really matter, but this idea that everybody's got to be buddies and you have to be friends and it has to be fun and all this stuff in today's world of sports, it doesn't carry like it did with those older generations. Now, not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying I still respect that these guys, their competitive nature, no matter how old they are, they hold on to their ideals. Not gonna deviate off the path at all, listening to Bill Laimbeer talk, Isaiah Thomas, and certainly Michael Jordan.
But at the same time, just last week we were talking, playing golf with Danny Ainge, the day before a game.
Yeah.
You know, like not just the day before a game, but day before an elimination playoff game.
Yeah.
You know, like there was an element of that, but then it was when it was on the floor, it was you flipped that switch, and that was the switch Roy Williams was talking
about.
Well,
I think that if we misconstrue respect, I think there was respect for Danny Ainge at the time, and there's respect for a certain kind of player. You lose your respect for somebody when he doesn't shake your hand. No, I'm dead serious.
That was probably one of the best 5 minutes of
incredible
audio or of television that we've seen, where it went from Horace Grant, Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas just being like, No, I'm not doing this.
If you can't look another man in the hand after you competed against him and shake their hand because you're that immature and you look at that, I don't look, if that's your vine you want to die on, no problems. You want to do all that, Bill Laimbeer, you can do that. You know, issues with it. But I'll say is that you got no leg to stand on when someone comes out and calls you out.
55305, that is a fan text line. Statement Monday, what'd you learn from the weekend in sports? Dusty and Cam on the Fan. All right, 55305, that's a fan text line. Good point being brought up on the fan text line. You had your statement Monday about not being able to shake a hand after the game. The Pistons just walking off the floor with 8 seconds to go. Boy, they would be lit up these days for that.
It's Bush.
Somebody
but it was,
did that,
was what you
a
did.
Few years back, didn't they? And they got lit up pretty hard for it.
Well, when Dame waved bye-bye.
But they, at least like they went shook. They shook hands afterwards to some of those guys after the dog pile.
They might have. I don't know if they did later. I don't know if they hung out in the what do they call it, in the hallways or anything, or if they did that. I can't remember exactly what happened because you got to have time to celebrate.
Yeah. Well, and when
that's a different kind of finish.
If it finishes like that,
that's a different kind of finish.
Everything is off.
Then literally what the most amazing part of that is that you know when it's wrong. When Isaiah Thomas starts to walk in front of the bench, he's so uncomfortable, he's sulking and ducking down. He knows it's wrong as he's walking by because he's embarrassed. He's embarrassed. He's like, okay, we're going to show these guys the pettiness of it. Look, man, those guys, they lived that way. That was the bad boy Pistons, and they lived it, and it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like it. Still, it was great.
But the text says, if we're going to talk about the Pistons and their actions, let's not ignore the Celtics. And Larry Bird, Celtics don't have a leg to stand on either. That's true. I mean, and that's kind of where, but Jordan made a good point of, hey, when we beat the Celtics, they were gracious in their defeat. So you can't sit there and say, why? And there's plenty of reason why the Celtics play or the Pistons played that the Celtics would be like, dude, we're pissed at these guys. But at the same time, they did act exactly the same way as the Pistons did. So, I mean,
they
were Bush
the
League as well. Larry Bird was Bush League as well. I don't have a problem saying that.
I think, I wholeheartedly disagree.
Well, he walked off and didn't shake their hands either.
Understandable,
so how is it different?
It's completely different because, do you see, there's two wrongs don't make a right when I look at this. Is that what's the common denominator in both these conversations? The Detroit Pistons. The Detroit Pistons are in both these situations. If the Bulls shake hands with the Celtics, the Celtics graciously shake hands with the Bulls. If the Bulls shake hands and deal with that after 2 years in a row with the Pistons, but the Pistons decide not to do it, and then they're going to then say that it was the Celtics' fault? No, the common denominator is that the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah.
They're the issue. The Celtics are like, we're not going to shake these guys' hands because they're punks, and they cheated, and they did whatever they needed to do. Look, you call it what you want. No, Larry Bird and the rest of those guys, they weren't Bush. They did not play that kind of basketball. They were still physical, but they didn't do what the Pistons did. Pistons weren't athletic. They were tough. They were physical. They were dominant. And I loved every second of it. But don't act like Larry Bird and the rest of those guys were the Detroit Pistons. No way, Jose.
No. But I'm just saying,
ain't happening.
To the point of you play a series, you finish it off, then, I mean, shake their hands. Don't just walk off the floor and leave the floor early like either team did. I don't think it's right what the Celtics did or the Pistons did. That's kind of where I'm just standing on the whole deal, is that I'm not going to criticize just the Pistons for doing it, because I think both are not the way that you handle a playoff series over how we know sports have gone for decades. You know, I mean,
you could tell that the Celtics and Larry Bird and the rest of the Hall of Fame guys did not respect the way the Pistons played basketball. They did not appreciate They did not value. Michael Jordan doesn't value it. The rest of the guys didn't value it. They, in fact, none of them were on the dream team because they hated him. They hated him. They didn't. Isaiah Thomas, they did not like that.
No, they and hated Isaiah Thomas for a lot of reasons.
I love the fact that they still hold on to that.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite parts is Jordan sitting there just still being like, 30 years later? No, I don't care.
Man.
Still hate him.
Oh, and Horace Grant?
What I learned over the weekend, yeah, he called them B-words.
It was a mic drop.
What I learned over the weekend is Dennis Rodman invented load management. 48-hour vacation in Vegas just because you need a break?
Yeah.
That's load management, man.
Needs a little recharge.
And, we have audio coming up that we will play of the return of Dennis Rodman. But one thing that is just absolutely right on brand for Dennis Rodman is he showed up to practice in pajama pants.
And then continued to practice in said pajama pants. He didn't teach all. He got to practice and changed. He just kept wearing them.
I'm going to show up in pajama pants, and this is what I'm practicing in right now.
Who really believes
I love that.
The Carmen Electra story of Michael Jordan knocking on the door?
Why wouldn't we? Both Jordan and Carmen Electra. I mean, Jordan's like, I'm not going to say who was in there, but then it cuts immediately to Carmen Electra saying, I was in there and I hid.
I don't know. If this was a suite, if this was the room to the bedroom, or was it the suite? Because I don't believe it's just a hotel room. I believe this was a suite.
And no, maybe this was back in Chicago, I'm assuming, because how did Jordan show up there?
I don't know.
Because they didn't say Jordan flew to Vegas. It was Rodman brought Electra back to Chicago. Yeah,
there was a lot of fuzzy details in that. I'm wondering how many were there in
that
room.
I'm going to go ahead and believe that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's interest. There's a lot of things that they're not matching up.
Yeah. And then how about the sniffers?
The what?
The guy.
The brothers sniff.
Oh, the sniffers.
The sniffers.
The jock sniffers.
The sniffs. President sniffs.
Michael Jordan's security team was sniffs. Called the jock sniffers. The
sniffs.
How fantastic was that? That was a beautiful moment in that documentary, which it really didn't have a purpose to be in there, except for it was just really funny audio.
And that dude's perm mullet on the left, too.
Yeah.
That was a head of hair right there.
That was spectacular.
A blonde permed mullet.
Well, Doug Collins was sporting that the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Especially when he was asking Jordan for kisses.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, can you come over and kiss me? Mm-hmm. Will you give me a kiss?
Yeah.
Jordan just walks up. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
let's go ahead and
liked each other.
Let's do this. All right, 55305. That is the fan text line. More of your statements. Statement Monday coming in. This one. I thought it was funny how Jordan called Horace Grant a snitch. He did. He when he was running back to the officials every time he got fouled hard.
Yeah,
he
said, knock it off, man.
I love that how Jordan explained to Horace, like, we're never going to get over on these guys if you keep whining and they see you whining. You've got to shut up, man.
One of my favorite parts of that whole last night's two episodes was talking about Michael Jordan taking Scottie Pippen under his wing and essentially teaching him how to be tough.
Well, he needed a partner
that
to
was
be tough.
Leadership.
Yeah.
In how he just showed it was Scottie needed somebody that knew he would fight for him. And it was Michael Jordan.
Yeah, the two things that were great about that. First, the headache game, the migraine game, which you could see Jordan roll his eyes a little bit. It's like, come on, man, really?
He was sick of
getting
beat up.
I played with the flu and whatever. You know, you kind of whined a little bit. That's right. But then
the flu,
whatever it was.
Can't wait till that gets highlighted.
Yeah, I could wait till Portland drugged him. then it was the fact that he admired him. Because the Pistons knew that when they tried to knock him down, Rodman knocked him down in game four, they went, oh, God. And he said he got up. He was tough. He didn't need any help. Mm-hmm. He did it on his own and changed the whole perception of how Detroit was like, uh-oh, we can't out-tough these guys anymore.
Yeah.
He did it.
55305, that's the fan text line. We will discuss more of The Last Dance. And Dennis Rodman being a psycho and Phil Jackson being his tamer coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Next hour, we dive into the NFL draft. A big weekend for local prospects. We'll hit to some of those in hot and cool. Plus, Aaron Rodgers, the mentor at 7:30. Dustin Cam on the fan.